others. The morning that changed all others. Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians? We've already read Luke's account of that morning. That morning had tremendous implications, continues to have implications to this day and will far into the future, into all of eternity. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's begin reading with verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain also. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now here's a turning point. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. As I think back in my life, there have been days that have been turning points. When I was 9 years old, I gave my heart to Christ. It was a turning point in my life. When I was a teenager, I responded to the call to preach the gospel. It was a turning point in my life. When I met Debbie, that first time, went out on the first date with her, it was a turning point in my life. And I can remember other days, the day I came here to accept the call of being your pastor, and the days my children were born. Remember certain days, special days, and you can remember days like that as well. Days that changed your life forever. Days that became a turning point for you. Well, this morning we have the privilege of joining with Christians all over the world as we consider the day that was the turning point of all days. The day that Jesus showed his power over the grave and rose that first resurrection morning. And I want to talk for just for a few minutes this morning, look at the ways that he has changed things, how his life has changed things, how that morning has changed all others. First of all, we can look back and see how the resurrection of Jesus has impacted the past. You see, the fact that Jesus rose from the dead shows that he was not just another ordinary, mortal, religious leader who came and go, who have things written about them in history books, but have no continued life to substantiate their claims. No, in spite of the predictions of many, the historical record shows that the movement Jesus Christ started, the church, continues to grow and prosper and thrive in this world. And it's only because Jesus is still alive. Voltaire, the famous French philosopher, once said that the Bible and Christianity would pass within 100 years. Well, he died over 230 years ago, and the church of Jesus Christ is still here. It's still alive. Jesus is still building his church, and the gates of hell are not prevailing against it. In 1882, Friedrich Nietzsche said, "God is dead." He believed that the dawn of science would be the doom of the Christian faith. He was obviously wrong. The Communist Dictionary once defined the Bible as a collection of fantastic legends without any scientific support. But look where communism is today, and where Christianity is today. The Church of Jesus Christ is still thriving. Max Lucado sums this all up by saying, "Everyone who has tried to bury the Christian faith has discovered the same thing. It won't stay buried any more than its founder." And he is right. The movement Jesus Christ started, the church is still here because Jesus is still here. And the resurrection proved the claims of Jesus, who claimed to be deity, who claimed to be God, and he is the conqueror of death itself, the savior of all who call upon him. An anonymous individual once put it this way: more than 2,000 years ago, there was a man born contrary to the laws of life. This man lived in poverty and was reared in obscurity. He did not travel extensively. Only once did he cross the boundary of the country in which he lived, and that was during his exile in childhood. He possessed neither name, wealth, nor influence. His relatives were inconspicuous, uninfluential, and had neither training nor education. In infancy, he startled a king. In childhood, he puzzled the doctors. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature, walked upon billows as if pavements, and hushed the sea to sleep. He healed the multitudes without medicine and made no charge for his services. He never wrote a book, yet all the libraries of the country could not hold the books that have been written about him. He never wrote a song, and yet he has furnished the theme for more songs than all the songwriters combined. He never founded a college, but all the schools put together cannot boast of having as many students. He never marshaled an army, nor drafted a soldier, nor fired a gun, and yet no leader ever had more volunteers, who have, under his orders, made more rebels stack arms and surrender without a shot being fired. The names of the past proud statesmen of Greece and Rome have come and gone. The names of the past scientists, philosophers, and theologians have come and gone. But the name of this man abounds more and more, though he has spread 2,000 years between the people of this generation and the scene of his crucifixion, yet he still lives. I am far within the mark when I say that all the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever were built, all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man upon this earth as powerfully as that one solitary life. Nobody has impacted history as much as Jesus has. Dr. James Kennedy wrote, "Some people have made transformational changes in one department of human learning or in one aspect of human life, and their names are forever enshrined in the annals of human history. But the past shows that Jesus Christ, the greatest man who ever lived, has changed virtually every aspect of human life." In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 15, Jesus said, "Behold, I make all things new." That's what he has done. You are here today as a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Jesus makes all things brand new. He has literally transformed almost anything that we could see today. Architecture. Think of all the mighty cathedrals, beautiful cathedrals that have been built in the name of Christ. All the art, The Last Supper by Da Vinci. If Jesus had not rose from the dead, those things would not have happened. Think of all of the charitable organizations today. They were started because of believers who believed in the compassion of Jesus Christ. The Salvation Army, Samaritan's Purse, and even the hospitals were started by believers in Jesus Christ. He has inspired many. He has inspired all of us. This last week, a cartoon of two Roman soldiers that were standing by an empty tomb. They were obviously shaken because they had failed in their task to guard this body. One of the soldiers turned to the other soldier and said, "Don't worry about it. 100 years from now, nobody will remember." But boy, was he wrong, because all of mankind remembers this historical fact. And so the resurrection of Jesus has changed the past. It also changes our present. I mean, it changes the life that you live right now. It proves that we're not wasting our time coming here to worship every week. The resurrection of Jesus shows that it's not pointless for us to try to follow the principles of Scripture and live by the Bible on a daily basis. Vance Havner once said, "If the resurrection of Jesus is a myth, then I am myth-taken, mystified, and mithrable." Try saying that 3 times. But he's right, because if it had not been for the resurrection of Jesus, the foundation upon which our faith is built If it had not been for that resurrection, then Christianity itself becomes null and void. Our preaching and our teaching would be useless. Our faith would be hopeless. We would be, of all people, most miserable because we would still be people lost in our sins. But you see, the resurrection of Jesus has verified our faith. Easter, the resurrection, proves that Jesus is worthy of our belief in Him, that He is the only way, He is the truth, and the life. Dr. David Seaman tells of a Muslim who became a Christian in Africa. Some of his friends asked him, "Why did you become a Christian?" He answered, "Well, it's like this. Suppose you were going down the road and suddenly the road forked in two directions, and you didn't know which way to go, and there at the fork of the road were two men, one dead and one living. Which one would you ask for directions?" Jesus is the only one, the only God who has claimed to raise from the dead. We serve a risen Savior, a risen Lord. I'm going to ask Him for directions because He's the way. He's the way to the Father. I like the song that says, "I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, what? He's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me a long life's narrow way. You ask me how I know He lives. How do you know He lives? He lives within your heart. He changes you. His salvation He has imparted." Bruce Larson writes, "The events of Easter cannot be reduced to a creed or philosophy. We are not asked to believe the doctrine of the resurrection." I like this. "We are asked to meet this person raised from the dead. In faith, we move from belief in a doctrine to knowledge of a person. Ultimate truth is in a person. We met Him. He is alive." Have you met the person today? Have you met Jesus? Does He live in your heart? Do you know the risen Savior? If you do, He's your closest companion. He's the solid rock of your life. He's your fortress. I couldn't do anything without His power and presence, but I can do anything through Him because He's not in the tomb. He's risen. He's risen indeed. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 7. It's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." What is that treasure? Jesus. What is the earthen vessel? You are. We are earthen vessels. We have this treasure. We have Jesus in these bodies, that the excellency of the power of the resurrected Christ, the power of the risen Lord, may be of God and not of us. Not only does the resurrection validate our faith, but it empowers our life. We come up against things all the time that are too big for us. We come up against things that are beyond our ability to handle. We have problems that our minds cannot solve. But thank God we don't have to rely upon our own power and our own ability in these times, because we have the resurrected Christ and His power available to us in those moments. You have all of the power of the One who is able to create everything that you see. Just think how much power it took to create the universe. That's the power that's inside of you. You have the power that raised someone from the dead. That same power is inside of you. And so the problems that we face, the situations that we encounter, are no match for the powerful Lord who lives inside of us. The Christian life is not a life of imitation. It's not you trying to live and act like Christ. It's not imitation, it's inhabitation. Jesus inhabits you. Your heart, your body becomes his home, his temple. And the Spirit of the living God indwells. That's that song that we sang as we started out here this morning. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he'll quicken your mortal body. He'll not only give you life, eternal life, but he will also empower the life that you have to now live it in victory. That's one of the reasons that Jesus came back from the dead, to empower people to live as he lived. I could never imitate him. I could never just copy his way of life. But I can live his life because he lives his life through me. Do you see the difference? He died and rose again to offer his blood and his life, this new life, this transforming power, so that we can live an abundant, successful, fulfilling life. Do you remember the words of Paul? Why don't we, in fact, turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Ephesians chapter 1. This is a prayer that Paul prayed, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Paul is reminding us that the same power that enabled Jesus to raise from the dead is available to help you and I rise above our problems today. That same power is there for you. That same power is there for me. Jesus' resurrection proves to us that there is no problem that is too big for God to handle. No situation is too hopeless if it's turned over to him. If God can bring back his son to life, he can bring resurrection to any area of our life as well. So let me ask you today, is there something in your life that has died? What dreams, what hopes, what relationship, what vision? Is there a particular sin that has just had you in its grip? You have not been able to overcome that. Let me say this. If God had the power and the ability to bring back his son to life, he can give a resurrection to that aspect of your life this morning. Claim that power to let Christ help you today. And so the life of Jesus has impacted the past. It impacts the present. But its greatest impact probably is the future. It will change our futures. We all know that death awaits us someday. We don't like to think about it. We don't like to ponder it too much because it's a depressing thing. And the older you get, life seems to get shorter and shorter, seems to go by so much more quickly. One of my favorite stories, kind of like the story Dave Gamble told a couple weeks back about a guy who went jogging at night. This guy decided he would go jogging through a cemetery. He was jogging along the gravestones, trying not to look down. Well, there was a freshly dug grave there getting ready for a body the next day, and so in the darkness he fell into the hole. It was so deep that he couldn't get out. He tried to jump out. He tried to climb out. He called for help. Nobody could hear him. Finally, he decided he was just going to have to spend the night there, so he huddled up in the corner there, waiting for morning. Tried to get a little sleep, and as he was trying a little bit later, another jogger came along and, running through the cemetery, fell into the same hole. And the guy started jumping and trying to get out, trying to climb the walls, unable to get out either. And all of a sudden, the second jogger felt a hand on his shoulder. He froze in his tracks, terrified. And then he heard a voice saying, "You can't get out of here." But he did. We would all like to get out of death, but we can't. But there was somebody who did.
Amen.
That's Jesus. He didn't do it because he was afraid. He didn't do it, he was terrified. He did it because he had the power to do it. And you know the great thing about this? Is after he has risen from the dead, the Bible says that he's become the first fruits of those that sleep, which means he is out of the grave and he reaches down his hand to us who are still here. And he pulls us out. And he gives us that same life that he had. Here's some cute little sentences about what children believed about death. Gilda, age 8, said, "When you die, they put you in a box and bury you in the ground because you don't look too good." Stephanie, age 9, says, "Doctors help you so you won't die until you pay their bill." Marsha, age 9, said, "When you die, you don't have to do homework in heaven unless your teacher is there too." Raymond, age 10, said, "A good doctor can help you so you won't die. A bad doctor sends you to heaven." We chuckle, but we know that death is certain. And so although we kind of chuckle about it, we also have this uneasy feeling. But I want you to know that the resurrection of Jesus Christ changes all of that. Death is not something that we have to fear anymore. In fact, why don't you turn to Hebrews chapter 2? Would you? Hebrews chapter 2. I'll give you fingers a workout today. Hebrews chapter 2. Let's look at verses 14 and 15. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." He's come to take away the fear of death. He's come to take away the bondage of that fear. Why? Because as verse 14 tells us, that through his death, he destroyed the power of death. He destroyed the works of the devil. You see, Jesus has changed the meaning of death. He has taken the sting out of it by demonstrating for the Christian that death is not which destroys what we call life. We rejoice because we serve a risen Lord who has promised that if we believe in him, even though we are dead, yet shall we live. And so death is really not the end for the Christian. Death is the beginning. It's the beginning of everlasting life. Bob Buford, in one of his books, told his testimony about when his son, Ross, was tragically killed in a drowning accident in the Rio Grande River. He told how he grieved over losing his 21-year-old son. You can imagine how hard that would be. And he said one day in prayer, he felt like God told him, "Bob, draw a horizontal line on a piece of paper." So he took a pencil and drew a line. Then God said, "Now write a number, the largest number you can think of below that line." And he did. He wrote a 1 with all kinds of zeros across the width of the page. Next, God said, "On top of that line, write 21. Now look at that. You have only spent 21 one-trillionths of the time you're going to spend together with your son, Ross." That's what resurrection means. It means having a living hope. It means that someday we are going to see our loved ones in heaven again. You know, we have not spent all the time that we are going to spend with them. We've only spent a small fraction of the time that we are actually going to spend with them. We will have all of eternity to spend with them. We will have all of eternity to get into heaven and look upon the face of the one who loved us so much that he died for us, that he gave everything that he had for us. What a time that is going to be. What a great day of rejoicing we are going to have. We have a great future, folks. No matter what happens here, we have a future that is most blessed. It'll be wonderful. Just think about it. There'll be no terrorists, no car bombs, no school shootings, no racism, no hatred, no taxes, no nightly news, to depress you and to get you down. There's not a hint of evil in the whole place. You could throw away your watches and your cell phones and Palm Pilots and laptops and handkerchiefs. It's going to be a place free from disease, free from pain, free from death. Some people live with physical pain every single day. That's going to be gone. You're going to get a new body that will be pain-free. It'll be flexible. It'll be quick. It'll be trim. No more eyeglasses. No more hearing aids. No arthritis. Some people live with emotional pain every day. Well, there's a day coming when all painful memories will be erased. There will be no regrets. There will be no baggage. There'll be no dealing with depression and anxiety. There will be no more broken hearts. All of this is going to be taken away when we meet Jesus face to face. You see how the resurrection changes your future? Aren't you glad that it does? Aren't you glad that Jesus came? He changed your past. He changes your present. And he changes your future. You have a glorious future that awaits you as a child of God. Could I have the worship team come back, please? Let's sing one more song.